It's 5 and 10 from Skywatch TV for Wednesday, November 2nd, 2022. I'm Derek Gilbert. Less than 48 hours until the launch of Skywatch TV's next virtual conference, Exposing the Darkness. Still time to sign up and take full advantage of free access to 6 feature-length documentary films, as well as the 24 presentations, details, and another sneak preview of the conference coming up in just a few minutes. Topic number 5 today, Big Tech and Big Brother. Federal government expanding its reach, specifically the Department of Homeland Security, in efforts to curb speech that it considers dangerous. This story reported by The Intercept, an online investigative journalism site. Some of us have been watching this for years, the use of the federal government, the use by the federal government of social media sites like Facebook, Twitter, and so on, but also big tech platforms, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, YouTube, Google, and so forth, to shape and control the official narrative. It came out into the open earlier this year when the Department of Homeland Security announced the creation of a new disinformation governance board, which was a panel intended to police misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation. This board was widely ridiculed and, condemned as a violation of our First Amendment guaranteed free speech rights. So the DHS quickly dismantled it, defunded it, but essentially it is now pivoted to behind-the-scenes efforts, working with big tech as the bureaucracy created in the wake of the 9/11 attacks in 2001. Trying to find something else to justify its budget now that its mandate, the war on terror, is winding down. Intercept journalist Lee Fang told Tucker Carlson on Fox News Monday night that this effort by DHS was rolled out in 2018, specifically after President Trump signed the Cybersecurity and Information Security Agency Act. This was in the wake of several high-profile hacking incidents. This formed a new wing of the Department of Homeland Security intended to protect critical national online infrastructure. This timeline, 2018, is rolled out by The Intercept deliberately to exonerate former President Barack Obama. Because really, this effort to use big tech to shape the official narrative really picked up steam in January of 2009. This reported by the Conservative Treehouse blog. Recommended reading, by the way. They've been documenting this for years, specifically in January of 2009, when President Obama gave that foreign policy speech in Cairo, Egypt, that kicked off the Arab Spring. Government was working hand-in-hand with online platforms, specifically Twitter and Facebook, to shape the narratives in those countries. In fact, Twitter was asked to delay a scheduled maintenance outage because it occurred during protests on the streets during elections in Iran, and Twitter was being used to coordinate the protests by the U.S. State Department. So the government's use of tech platforms to control the official narrative, whether it's Russia is bad, Trump is evil, or these vaccines are safe and effective, is just a continuation of a long, time-honored tradition. It's just that it's only been the last decade or so that the federal government has caught on to the idea that old media, specifically daily newspapers and network newscasts, can no longer shape the public narrative the way they used to. So they've got to go to big tech and get them to play ball, which, according to the documents obtained by The Intercept, big tech is all too willing to do. Hence the government's partnership with big tech, which ranges from these behind-the-scenes efforts to rather overt efforts like the White House inviting TikTok influencers and giving them access to behind-the-scenes areas of the White House that you and I will never see. Anyway, combined with the leak FBI document reported last week by Project Veritas, that the FBI will be looking into mis- and disinformation about the election as potential crimes, This is not good news. According to DHS's Quadrennial Homeland Security Review, the department plans to target inaccurate information on a wide range of topics, including the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic, the efficacy of COVID-19 vaccines, racial justice, U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan, and the nature of U.S. support to Ukraine, and cracking down on those types of mis- and disinformation. The irony, of course, is that our government officials have routinely lied to us on a variety of topics, ranging from the origins of the wars in Vietnam, the Gulf of Tonkin, never happened, Iraq, and the role of the National Institutes of Health in funding bat coronavirus research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Anyway, topic number four, moving on. That leads to this story. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky has tested positive for COVID-19 again. That's the second time in 10 days. She is, of course, fully vaxxed, fully boosted, started a course of Pfizer's antiviral drug Paxlovid after her initial positive test. She improved, tested negative, but then tested positive again on Sunday, making her the third high-profile U.S. government official, fully vaxxed, fully boosted, to have a rebound infection following President Biden and Dr. Anthony Fauci. And yet, the White House, as you now know, encouraging us to get our annual COVID-19 shots. Topic number three, the alliance cracks. Japan has decided to remain involved in the Sakhalin 1 oil and gas project in Russia. This is off one of the islands between Japan and mainland Russia. Japan seeking a stable supply of energy, but who isn't in the world today? ExxonMobil formerly had a 30% stake in it, decided in March that it would withdraw after the invasion of Ukraine. Japan has been debating whether or not to pull out of the project for the last 6 months, has finally decided it is not going to follow in ExxonMobil's footsteps. Why does this matter? It makes Japan the first high-profile member of the Western alliance against Russia to break with Russia and say, no, we're going to stick with the project here because we need the oil. Now, of course, there are reasons. Japan relies on the Middle East for 95% of its crude oil imports, and it sees partial ownership of this project and other Russian projects as a better, closer, more affordable, more stable source of energy. Now, the irony here is, though, while Japan appears to be breaking ranks with its European partners, Europe pretends to be imposing draconian sanctions against Russia's energy industry when it is, in fact, buying the oil and gas through third parties like India and China and paying a 20% markup, which, of course, is being borne by the people of Europe who are seeing their costs for heating fuel rise dramatically as we head into winter. Topic number two, voting. Again, Israelis back at the polls on Tuesday for the fifth time in less than 4 years. Results of the election will probably be available by the time you see this. Benjamin Netanyahu, former prime minister, hoping for a return to power, although that situation is complicated, more complicated even than here in the U.S. or even the United Kingdom. In Israel, the party that wins the most seats is invited to form a government, but they've got to put together a coalition to reach 61 members of the Knesset out of the 120. They've got to get a majority of their equivalent of the House of Representatives in order to form a government. That's been almost impossible the last few years because you've got some conservative politicians who would rather align themselves with liberals and, in the most recent government, even with Arab parties, rather than Benjamin Netanyahu. The only thing holding this recent government together, co-chaired by Naftali Bennett and Yair Lapid, conservative and liberal, respectively, is that they dislike Netanyahu more than they dislike each other. Well, that didn't last long, as we kind of thought it wouldn't. Anyway, we shall see what happens. But adding to the complications here is the fact that Netanyahu's involved in a high-profile criminal trial in which he faces charges of bribery, fraud, and breach of trust. He argues that it's politically motivated, which it may well be. Anyway, we will see what happens, if a government can be formed, or if there will be a sixth election in 4 years coming soon. Coming up, photobombed by a shark. That is ahead on 5 and 10.
There just seems to be so much provocation, anger, dissent, hostilities. What in the other world is going on? Satan's violent auto-suggestions can influence the mind that rejects the voice of God and fill that mind with envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice, says Romans 1:29. Humans' historic willingness to slaughter each other wholesale in war and genocidal efforts offers compelling evidence to some scientists that in the genome of some humans lies a fully armed biochemical code for the gamut of aggression, from kicking the dog to killing the wife. Recent years have produced considerable advances in DNA research, with one of the more popular new fields called behavioral epigenetics. It seeks to examine and to understand the role that genetics play in shaping animal and human behavior, cognition, personality, and mental health. Epigenetics may occur during life or begin in the womb. When chemical changes brought on by the mother's activity affect the genetics and therefore perhaps the future behavior of the child, that those modifications may become heritable, and if so, this raises an intriguing question regarding the potential for a blueprint or a special genetic combination that could exist in which individuals can be programmed or reprogrammed to act in defiance of normal human consciousness. But this appears to have been the estate of the Nephilim, who were genetically manufactured or altered by fallen angels, which are depicted in ancient records as bloodthirsty, violent enemies of God's people, not made in the image of God, were specifically designed for demonic inhabitation. But did the Nephilim also represent a repeatable, dark, molecular model?
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself for Skywatch TV's Dynamite Fall Special Offer. We proudly announce the Global Acceleration Special Collection. For your $35 donation during this very limited time offer, you'll receive the brand new book from critically acclaimed best-selling author Pastor Carl Gallup's The Yeshua Protocol, An Explosion of Divine Revelation for Our Unique Generation. The new book by internationally esteemed Pentagon analyst Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, Kings of the East, China plan to eliminate America and impose a communist world order, and the groundbreaking new book from legendary author Terry James, Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm, featuring contributions from Tim Moore, Dr. Thomas Horn, and several others. In the new book, The Yeshua Protocol, Carl Gallup's takes you on a whirlwind tour through the scripture like you've never experienced. Discover the undeniable Yeshua codes buried within the pages of the Old Testament. Learn the inescapable reality that every living cell in creation is encoded with the very name of God. And be shocked when you see what has been secretly lying within the pages of the Bible that allows you to see Yeshua as you've never before fathomed him. Also included in the Global Acceleration Special Collection is Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, Kings of the East. This incredible new work reveals how the Chinese Communist Party is using highly malevolent tools to seize control over Western society with plans for global domination, how they are rapidly seizing the lead on most emergent technologies worldwide, how Beijing is using 9 different political maneuvers to reset the world economy for their advantage, and what the U.S. and its Western allies must do to sideline Beijing's radical New World Order ambition. But that's not all. You'll also receive Trajectory, Tracking the Approaching Tribulation Storm. This unprecedented new masterpiece by legendary authors Terry James, Tim Moore, Dr. Thomas Horn, and others demonstrate unequivocally how deceivers and demonic influences are destroying this generation through reprobate thinking. Find out why the insanity of the so-called woke groups, cancel culture, and the mainstream media are indoctrinating our social, educational, and even military institutions with anti-God, anti-America as founded sentiment, and provides in-depth analysis on emerging topics like pandemic tidal waves, catastrophic weather changes, Mideast malevolence, and so much more. This unprecedented collection, sold separately, holds a retail value of $60. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Don't miss out on these vivid end-of-the-age works. The Global Acceleration Collection, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order online or call 1-844-750-4985.
Item number one today, photobombed by a shark. This will make you wonder whether it's really safe to get back in the water. Over the weekend, a photographer named Jordan Anast captured images of a shark photobombing a surfer. This photo series includes an image of surfer Tyler Warren standing on his surfboard. This is in Hawaii, headed towards shore. Behind him, nothing but clear blue sky. But then the next shot in the series shows this. Thought at first it was a dolphin, but in fact it is a rather large shark. bad enough that the federal government is trolling your social media, but imagine those who are trolling you, photobombing your social media feed, have the power to eat you as well. I guess we'll count our blessings where we can. Coming up Friday, SkyWatch TV's next virtual conference launches. This is called Exposing the Darkness, which is what we try to do here at SkyWatch TV. These daily news updates, our weekly programs, the women's program, Simply His, all with the same goal in mind. As the prophet Hosea said, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't want that to be true for you. And so we thank you for joining us. Take advantage of this opportunity. The registration is $95, gets you access to 24 presentations, all in the 45 to 60 minute range, plus 6 feature length documentaries on important subjects like child trafficking, not just for physical purposes, but for occult religious purposes as well. The award-winning film Inhuman, the final, next and final phase of Man is Here, on the transhumanism movement, the fact that it's a really science fiction religion that seeks to overcome death through technology, and the most recent documentary produced, directed by Josh Peck, Ragnarok, Humanity's Last Stand, based on Tom Horn's best-selling book, The Wormwood Prophecy. Still time to sign up and get full access for 90 days, beginning Friday. DefenderConference.com is the website, DefenderConference.com. Will the New World Order be communist? Lieutenant Colonel Robert McGinnis, in his new book, Kings of the East, argues that that may in fact be the case. This is the middle of our series of programs devoted to 3 new books from Defender Publishing. Don't miss this program. Colonel McGinnis has an insider's knowledge. He is still a consultant to the Pentagon, a long observer and insider when it comes to geopolitics and military strategy. His insights regarding what he calls the alliance of evil between Russia and China, well worth hearing from. And again, this is just a little sliver of what you get in the new book. SkyWatch TV's broadcast schedule is posted online at skywatchtv.com/channels. You set the schedule, however, just by adding the SkyWatch TV channel or app to Roku or Apple TV, or by downloading our free mobile app to your smartphone or tablet. That gets you access to all of our video content, news updates 3 times a week, and a schedule of our upcoming events. All of that right in the palm of your hand, whether it's iOS, Android, Amazon Kindle Fire, phone, or tablet. We have links to the app stores for all of those devices posted at the website to make it easy for you. You'll find the link in the top menu bar at skywatchtv.com. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.